They must cost a fortune, or the bids I got wouldn't be so high.
I can get a lot of stuff at the ReStore in town, the one that recycles used building materials. And I've got several rolls of wire that have been sitting at my place for years. I might as well give myself some extra storage space by using them.
Sissy shifted her gaze skyward and chuckled in spite of herself. I never saw this coming. Me, hiring Ben Sterling to build my chickens a coop and run. God must have a sense of humor.
Am I that bad?
Sissy shook her head. No. It's just that you really aren't my type, and having you around all the time, even short-term, may not be a good plan. He joined her in gazing up at the full moon.
I get the feeling that I am your type, and that's why you act like a porcupine around me, because I scare you.
Not a chance. She would never admit to him that she found him attractive. He expelled a breath and slanted his head upward.
Well, that's good, because that's a mulberry moon.
It looked like an ordinary moon to Sissy. What's a mulberry moon?
A September full moon. It's an old Native American name for it.
That's strange. Mulberries ripen in June, so far as I know.
True, but the American Indians fermented them and made wine, which they couldn't drink until sometime in September. They marked the fermentation time needed by watching for the September full moon.
Ah. Sissy kept her gaze fixed on the sky. The moon under discussion was enormous, and the color of churned butter with wisps of crimson and mauve ringing the bottom of its sphere.
There's a legend about the mulberry moon.
His voice pitched low and husky.
They say that any man and woman who stand together under a mulberry moon are destined to fall in love and live happily ever after.
Really? How fascinating! She made sure skepticism edged her tone.
Worried yet?
When she shook her head, he added,
Even riskier for you and me. We're not only standing together under a mulberry moon, but we're near a distributary of Mystic Creek, which also comes with a legend about falling in love.
I've heard all the different versions of the one about Mystic Creek. Sissy gave him a sideways glance. And both legends are undoubtedly a bunch of crap. He nodded.
Yep, just BS. The way I see it, the Native Americans who fell in love under a mulberry moon were probably drunk from their wine.
She laughed. I like that. BS with a cynical twist.
But possibly correct. If you drink enough wine, practically anyone looks good.
I'll remember that and never serve you any fruit of the vine. Sissy pushed away from the truck. Moving on to the construction of my coop and run, it's too cold out here to discuss the details. You're shivering without a coat. And after hearing about your appetite, I'm fairly sure you're hungry by now. Do a Coney Island hot dog and fries sound good?
You're tired. I'll just go home and grab a sandwich. We can discuss the details tomorrow.
Sissy beckoned for him to follow her. I've decided to do my breakfast prep tonight so I don't have to get up so early, and I didn't have time for dinner. If I cook for one, I may as well cook for two. He fell into step beside her, one arm positioned to grab her if she slipped.
You heard my stomach growling.
Yep, I'm not deaf. Once inside the cafe, with Ben perched on a stool at the counter, Sissy wondered if she'd lost her mind when she invited him in. He had nailed it on the head. He was her type, and she was scared to death of him. Now her task was to make sure he never realized it. Bristling at him constantly didn't seem to do the trick. As she hurried to throw together their meal, she assured herself that her salivary glands were working overtime only because she was hungry and smelled food. This won't take long. The fryer is still hot from dinner and will reheat fast.
No hurry. This coffee hits the spot.
When the hot dogs were prepared and in the warmer, Sissy went to stand facing him at the business side of the counter. She propped her elbows on the stainless steel work surface, a foot lower than the service bar.
It offered a comfortable leaning spot for a short person, and she liked the security of a solid counter between them. Like I said earlier, I don't accept charity. I've had work done here, and paying a man only $60 a day to do any kind of carpentry would be highway robbery on my part.
Ah, but that's my offer, and you really shouldn't turn it down. You could hire someone else, somebody who doesn't have my appetite and a habit of eating out, but he'd very likely know as little as you do about chickens and charge 3 times more.
And you know a lot about them? Chickens, I mean? He winked at her.
I've been around chickens since I learned to walk. I know how to design a coop and run that will work and keep them safe from predators. I've already built one for myself. If you put your chickens in the coop at night, they'll be fairly safe. You'll need a good latch, of course. Raccoons are nocturnal and pretty clever.
Sissy nodded, trying to envision the structure. He obliterated the picture forming in her mind with,
"That wire you built your run with is deadly."
He created a large O by touching his index finger to the tip of his thumb.
"A hen can poke her head through openings that large. Skunks love chicken heads."
"Oh, God!"
"Exactly. I've seen chickens lying headless in their runs without another mark on them. True fact."
He settled that twinkling, mischievous gaze on her face.
"If you want a coop and run that's safe, you'll hire me."
Sissy toyed with her lineup of salt and pepper shakers. "I still don't think 60 a day is enough to pay you." He winked at her.
"We'll negotiate it out. Fair and square. I'll want extra desserts."
Sissy shook her head. "We need to have a clear understanding now, no negotiating later. When the job is done, I don't want to feel indebted to you." He shrugged.
"So, what's your offer?"
She could scarcely believe that she was about to hire him. He'd be on her property for God only knew how long, and even worse, he'd be eating at her cafe 4 times a day. The thought unsettled her so badly that she nearly changed her mind. "But what about her chickens?" "Here's my idea," she said, her chest tightening with reluctance. "After you finish the job, I'll provide you with 4 square meals a day for an extra 2 weeks. Paying you with food works for me. The actual cash outlay is less than the menu price. So if I feed you for 2 extra weeks, your daily pay will go up to a fair level, but it won't be as expensive for me as paying cash."
"Deal," he said.
He agreed a little too quickly for her peace of mind. But just then she heard an odd sound in the kitchen. She left the bar and entered the cooking area. After she glanced around for anything out of place, her gaze settled on the shelf where she normally kept her watch and ring. Earlier there had been a piece of foil on the shelf. Now it was gone. She knew she hadn't removed it. So who had taken it? A chill ran over her skin. And again, she felt as if someone were staring at her. Just then the fryer reached cooking temperature and beeped. The sound made Sissy jump. Stomach fluttering, she lifted the vat lid, lowered the fry basket into sizzling oil, and then turned the wheel to batten down the hatches. She set the timer so the fries would be cooked to a perfect golden brown. Once back at the bar, she asked a question that she thought until that moment would never pop out of her mouth to anyone. "Do you believe in ghosts?" Chapter 3.
"Do I believe in ghosts?"
Ben gave Sissy a solemn study.
"I believe in spirits. The term ghost sounds too Halloweenish."
Sissy had expected him to laugh. Instead, he'd answered her question with sincerity and conviction. That made her feel better, and less crazy, for sure.
"Why do you ask?"
Sissy shivered. "Weird stuff has been happening in this building. It's starting to creep me out." He leaned closer, as if by proximity he could pry more information out of her.
"What kind of weird stuff?"
Sissy waved her hand. "It'll sound stupid." His expression went from curious to intense. "Things are
disappearing.
What kind of things?
Nothing really expensive or important. Just little things. For instance, I have this candy bowl upstairs on my coffee table. I limit myself to 2 pieces a night because I have a sweet tooth and I don't want to gain weight.
He lowered his gaze to take in what he could of her figure, stopping only when the counter's edge blocked his view.
Her skin burned. He might just as well have said it aloud.
You don't need to worry.
A dimple flashed in his cheek as he looked back up.
Of course. Everything in moderation.
Distracted by the unexpected and tantalizing appearance of the dimple, she couldn't jerk her gaze from that spot on his lean cheek. Not a dimple, really, she decided. It was more a crease. Probably a dimple when he was a boy that had been chiseled deeper over the years by sun exposure. Who was she kidding by analyzing it to death? Dimple or crease, it was sexy as hell. I'm in trouble, she thought. I knew being around him was a bad idea. How do I get myself out of this?
Sissy?
He jerked her back to the conversation.
I hate cliffhangers. Tell me about the candy bowl.
She hauled in a bracing breath and refocused. My favorite candy bar is a Snickers, only I don't dare buy regular size ones, because once I bite into one, it's history. So I get the fun size variety bags. He crossed his eyes at her, then he grinned.
I asked for details about the weird shit, sissy, not your junk food habits.
Right, only it's all sort of related. Mini Snickers bars come in gold foil wrappers. The fryer timer went off. Sissy excused herself to fill their plates. She remembered from his previous visits that he was a slow eater, unless, of course, he'd been procrastinating to hang around longer. According to the digital clock on the commercial appliance, Cinderella's coach had turned into a pumpkin 3 minutes ago. If he lingered over his meal, he might be in her building half the night. Balancing plates, Sissy returned to the bar, slid Ben's meal toward him, and set her own on the lower counter at what she considered a safe distance from him. With a muttered excuse, she returned to the kitchen and went into the cooler, where she got 3 more hot dogs, which she put on a paper plate and carried out front.
Whoa! Ben exclaimed. I think you're overestimating my appetite.
She shook her head. These are for Finnegan. Is he on the porch?
Yes. He's already learned the stay command, and that's where I signaled him to wait.
Well, I'd like to bring him in where it's warm to enjoy his dinner. That is, if it's okay for him to have these.
He'll love them.
Ben slid off the stool. He wore a hand-tooled western belt, the buckle ornate and gleaming like a beacon to draw her gaze to what lay just below it.
I can go get him, but are you sure? Isn't it against the law?
Sissy shrugged. Service animals are allowed in public places, and today Finn did me a great service. Besides, the inspector would never show up at this hour. Laughing, Ben went to get his dog. Sissy gave Finnegan an appreciative pat and set the plate in front of him. By the time she straightened, the 3 hot dogs had vanished. Glancing over at an amused Ben, she asked if the pup could have more.
Only 3. I don't want him getting sick.
He smiled at the eager canine, whose begging eyes were fixed on Sissy.
It's really sweet of you to think of him. He's still in puppy gear and eats every chance he gets. I fed him dinner earlier when I had my own, but as you can see, he's running on empty already.
She repressed a grin. Like master, like dog? Ben shrugged.
If either of us starts putting on weight, I'll worry about it.
Sissy doubted he would have to worry about it for a good long while. He had a gorgeous build, slender in the right places, yet padded with just enough muscle to look robust. She went behind the bar again and grabbed 2 prepared napkin rolls of flatware, then put squeeze bottles of fry sauce, a blend of ketchup and mayo, and mustard next to Ben's plate beside the salt and pepper shakers. Bon appetit! Ben lost no time in unwrapping his cutlery.
I never ruin a good coney with condiments, and this one looks amazing.
He flashed her a smile, and she glanced down, pretending to be intent on her dinner.
You can't distract me with food, by the way. I still want to hear about the Snickers bars.
Sissy squirted a blob of fry sauce onto her plate. Sorry about the interruption. I have conversations and blips. Fries burn fast if you don't remove them from the oil. She salted her serving. As for the Snickers bars, they disappear.
Most things do when you eat them.
Has anyone ever mentioned that you can be a smartass?
Sorry.
He shrugged his broad shoulders.
You walked right into it, and I couldn't resist. You were saying?
They disappear from the bowl. The other candy bars aren't touched, only the Snickers. And no, they aren't vanishing because I eat them and then forget. Before I go to bed at night, I now count them and write the number down. The next morning, at least one is always gone, sometimes two.
Wow, that is weird.
He hadn't waited to swallow before he spoke. His cheek bulged with a bite of food.
Do you sleepwalk? My mom's friend did, and she'd wake up in the morning with mustard all over her face.
Sissy sighed. If I sleepwalked, I'd wake up with chocolate all over mine. And if I were gobbling all that candy, I'd have gained 10 pounds. No, someone or something is stealing them. She put another fry into her mouth. Even weirder, the candy bars have disappeared while I'm eating them. She stabbed an index finger at him. If you say once more that things tend to vanish while we're eating them, this story will end before you hear the good parts. His eyes took on that mischievous twinkle again.
Well, I really want to hear the good parts, so I'll be on my best behavior.
Sissy wiped the corners of her mouth with her napkin. So, I'll be watching TV, right? And I'll set my half-eaten Snickers bar on the end table, still partly wrapped in foil. After I've switched channels, I'll reach for my candy bar, and it'll be gone.
Gone? Foil and all?
He sounded skeptical, and she couldn't blame him. He forked some savory ground beef and hot dog into his mouth, worked his jaw, and swallowed.
Did you look to make sure the wrapper wasn't between the couch cushions or on the floor?
Of course. The candy bars just disappear, either out of the bowl or while I'm munching on them. She suppressed a shiver. Somehow the whole thing bothered her more when it was dark. He reached for another fry. It was a man's hand, blunt and capable. Burnished by the sun, his skin, dusted with golden hair, reminded her of melted butterscotch. She took a sip of water.
That is totally freaky, he said. Don't take this wrong, because I'm not poking fun. But why do you think it's a ghost?
I don't. Not really. It's just... Well, it's been happening so much, and I can't think of any rational explanation. Can you? A vertical line between his eyebrows deepened.
No, I can't. But that doesn't mean there isn't one.
Spoken like a true non-believer, she retorted.
Honestly, I do believe in spirits. I just can't wrap my mind around the idea of a non-physical being that steals Snickers bars.
The open collar of his blue shirt revealed a V of tanned skin and a thatch of golden chest hair. Warmth pooled in her lower abdomen. Not good, she thought. She'd spent very little time with him, yet already she felt attracted to him. What was wrong with her? She might as well develop an addiction to strychnine. She almost jumped when he spoke again.
How in the hell can candy bars vanish like that?
I have no clue. Sissy's skin prickled as she thought about the many times it had happened. Maybe I'm nuts, but I'm starting to believe that this place is haunted. He considered that for a moment.
If it's any consolation, I'd be a little spooked too. What else is going on? Anything?
After months of wondering whether she was slowly losing her mind, a hint of empathy was all Sissy needed. Yes, there's a lot more. She broke off as Finn came to lie at her feet. She felt the warm weight of his head on her shoe. He was so young and trusting,
How did he know she wouldn't step on him? She wondered briefly if she had ever felt that safe and relaxed.
Well, don't stop there. What else is happening?
She took a small bite of food and spoke around it. I have a small electric keyboard. I can't play well, I never got lessons and can't read music, but I like to bang on it sometimes, pretending the noise is wonderful. Ben grinned.
I do the same with my guitar. I guess a lot of people have a musician inside them that the rest of the world hopes never gets out.
Sissy startled herself by giggling. Sometimes at night, I jerk awake and hear music coming from the keyboard. Just random notes, even worse than my playing. I began unplugging it at bedtime, but sometimes I still hear the keys clacking. He gave a low whistle. Finn lifted his head, realized they weren't going anywhere, and settled back against Sissy's ankle.
No wonder you're starting to believe in ghosts. If I woke up and heard someone plucking my guitar strings, my hair would stand on end.
Somehow it made her feel less ridiculous to hear him say that. She felt as if she were confiding in a good friend. That realization made her nerves jangle, so she decided to shorten her story. But what really bugs me is that things keep disappearing.
Things other than candy bars?
Mostly small stuff, she replied. Tonight my wristwatch wasn't where I left it this morning before I started cooking, but my ring was still there. How does that make sense? She toyed with the band, making the stone mounted in patterned gold slide back and forth on her finger. Ben whistled.
Is that a mood ring?
Sissy tucked her hand out of sight. I realize hardly anyone wears them now.
I think you can still buy them, though. I remember my mom wearing one when I was a kid.
My mother gave this one to me when I was about 12. I only wear it because it used to be hers.
Did you lose her?
Sissy's mouth went dry. She had lost her mom, but not in the way he meant. Yes. His expression turned solemn.
I'm sorry. You must have been really young when it happened.
Around 18, Sissy sighed. So I'm glad the ring didn't vanish, but I'm still bummed about my watch. It wasn't expensive, but I can't easily afford to buy a new one right now. Not that I'm broke or anything, I'm just trying to stay on a strict budget. Once I improve the coop and run, I'll save to remodel the cafe. He fingered a fry but didn't eat it. You know what's really strange? Even as Sissy asked the question, she wondered what she was thinking. Prolonging the conversation postponed the moment when he would leave. She hadn't asked him to come in so they could become best buddies. When I realized my watch had vanished, there was a piece of foil on the shelf where the watch had been. That was when I heard you banging around out in the yard. And now even the foil is gone.
You left a lot of people here in the cafe while you were outside trying to catch chickens,
he mused aloud. Are you suggesting one of my customers stole my watch? Sissy shook her head. That's hard to believe. Besides, it isn't worth much. $20, maybe.
It's hard for me to imagine, too. I grew up here. I like all those people.
Sissy searched his gaze. Who do you think might have done it? He straightened on the stool.
Damned if I know. None of the people who came out to help us, that's for sure. Who stayed inside?
Nobody that I know of. Ma, Thomas, and Marilyn, maybe, because they're older, but they're my friends. As often as possible, I treat them to a late lunch so we can visit. They tell me wonderful stories about my Aunt Mabel. I never got to meet her, and they've helped me feel as if I know her. Neither of them would ever steal from me.
I'm certain I saw Ma and Marilyn outside, which means the cafe was empty. Maybe someone came in from the street. In all the uproar, we may not have heard the door buzzer. It's a more likely explanation than a ghost playing pranks.
Yes, and it's Friday, or was. A lot of tourists come through town to see the legendary creek and natural bridge. Maybe it was somebody we don't even know. He smiled.
Right. That's easier for me to swallow. As for the foil lying where the watch was, isn't it possible that a small piece jerked loose from the roll and landed on the shelf while you were wrapping food?
She supposed it was, but how had it gone up to the shelf instead of down? Maybe, but where did it go later?
The back door was opened a few times. Maybe a draft of air blew it off the shelf.
The kitchen was situated on one side of the building with a dividing wall between it and the dining area. Sissy doubted that a draft coming in the back door could be strong enough to travel through the storage area and into the cafe.
It's possible, she conceded.
But what about my missing candy bars and all the strange noises I hear? And don't forget my keyboard playing all by itself.
Well, given your passion for Snickers bars, maybe you are sleepwalking and eating them without realizing it. You work so hard, it's not a stretch to think you're burning off the calories.
It was an unwelcome thought, but she couldn't totally discount it. On the nights when she ate other brands of candy, she went to bed craving a Snickers bar. Maybe. She couldn't help but smile. It's hard to believe, though. Eating in my sleep? But I'd rather think that than blame it on a ghost. Ever since childhood, I've been relentlessly rational, and it makes me uneasy when I start going off into zany land. I never even believed in Santa Claus. Ben grinned, and then as he studied her face, the smile faded.
I thought everyone believed in Santa Claus until at least first grade.
Not if Santa never comes. The instant that came out, she wished she hadn't said it. Her past was private, and she'd just revealed something to him that she'd never told anyone. Maybe she was loose-tongued because of exhaustion. She'd been working without a break since the wee hours of the morning. Whatever, the sooner she got him out of here, the better. Her miserable childhood was none of his business, but there was something about him that made her forget to hold her secrets close. This whole situation frightened her. She was telling him things she would never reveal to anyone else. With a grin, he could make her knees feel weak. He seemed so nice, but was he? She'd learned the hard way never to trust her judgment when it came to men. Straightening from the counter where she'd been resting her elbow, she glanced at his empty plate. "Would you like any dessert?" He shook his head and placed a hand over his belly.
"No, thank you. It was fabulous, though."
"Well, I've still got breakfast prep to do, so I'd better bust it out." He nodded.
"Yep. We'll both be tapped out when our alarms go off in the morning."
"I don't mean to be rude," she heard herself say. Gently pulling her shoe from under Finn's head, she began gathering their dishes. "I'm just tired, and still have a lot of work to do before I can call it a day."
"I hope you have an uneventful night," he said as he swung off the stool. "This building is ancient, you know. It's bound to creak and settle. That alone might spook me and put my imagination in overdrive."
Most guys Sissy had known would never admit that a creaky old building might spook them. "It does get a little spooky here at night."
"I can only imagine. As for the keyboard pinging or clacking, maybe you have mice. The keys on some electric boards depress easily. Perhaps your guest musician has 4 tiny feet."
"Mice?"
"You're not afraid of them, I hope."
"No, of course not," she replied, her stomach clenching. "If the keyboard clacks, I'll cling to that thought for comfort. Thanks again, and good night." Ben paced off the distance between Sissy's back porch and his truck with such speed that Finnegan, running beside him, lost his footing on the ice and did a belly slide. Ben bent over his dog.
"Are you okay, pal?"
The pup struggled to get back up, but his legs sprawled sideways, putting him belly down again. Ben lifted him, set him on his feet, and ruffled his ears.
"Sorry, I forgot you aren't wearing studded boots."
Ben straightened and cast a glance at the age-darkened building behind him. Something about the way Sissy had ended their conversation felt off to him.
"I hope I didn't say or do something to offend her."
Finn sat down, cocked his head at Ben, and whined. Ben decided it was a sympathetic reply in dog speak. Snapping his fingers, he led the way, slower this time, toward his truck, and opened the door so the pup could jump inside. Following behind the dog, he swung up onto the driver's seat and cranked the engine until it roared to life.
For a moment, Ben sat with his hands on the steering wheel and stared out the windshield at the trees, illuminated by headlights. Then he took a deep breath and slowly released it. Something had shifted between him and Sissy, and whatever it was had frightened her. He'd seen that in her eyes. It was going to take a lot of patience and understanding from him if he was interested in getting to know her better. To Finn, he said,
"And how could I not be interested? I couldn't believe she invited you into her cafe tonight to eat. Even sweeter, she gave you seconds. And today I never once saw her act as if getting your hair on her clothes disgusted her."
Finn went,
"Grumph."
Ben grinned.
"So you like her too. I can't say I blame you. I'd bet my best Stetson that she wouldn't be scared of my horses either, or get all bent out of shape if she stepped in cow manure."
Ben fell quiet. Then he added,
"I'd never tell anyone but you this, pal. But I've got a gut feeling about her. That maybe, just maybe, I've finally found a lady who won't try to change me. Someone I could build a future with."
He glanced at his dog.
"Remember the blonde who tried to make me ditch my Western wear and go metrosexual? That went over with me like a rainstorm during a 4th of July picnic."
Finn barked, which made Ben laugh.
"Okay, you're telling me not to get ahead of myself, and you're right. But I can't help it. She's a hard worker, she's prideful, as she put it. When I offered her a screaming deal, she refused to pay me only 60 a day. But you know what I like most about her? She seems to like animals. I've tried meshing with women who don't, and it never works. They'd make you sleep in a doghouse."
Finn's answer to that was a low growl. Chapter 4 Ben considered himself a morning person, but when the alarm went off at 4:30, he wanted to reconsider the whole thing. He hadn't gotten to bed until the early hours, and even then thoughts of Sissy had held sleep at bay. Part of him wanted to shut off the alarm and forget about it, but the other part reminded him that the person partially responsible for his lack of rest was expecting him to show up. That got him moving. A quick shower helped chase away the cobwebs, and two mugs of coffee had him ready to face the day. He took the third mug outside with him. The frozen air burned his lungs like dry ice. According to his weather app, the temperature would rise when the sun came up, treating the residents of Mystic Creek to another day of Indian summer. He would welcome that. He enjoyed doing physical work outdoors, but given his druthers, he preferred to break a sweat right away. It somehow energized him. As he stood on the porch looking out at his spread, he realized again how good it was to be back. Instead of flat, barren fields as far as he could see, his view looked out over his stable, an enclosed riding arena, a hay barn, and a crisscross of white fences. Along with the rich aroma of French roast coffee, he inhaled a mixture of scents: manure, hay, grain, cows, chickens, and horses. He enjoyed the potpourri of ranch life. It was a great start to what would be a long day. Home. He sure didn't miss being on the road to earn his living. This acreage, a half section, would provide him with enough income to live comfortably, and he could train or shoe horses for extra spending money. It was going to be a good life. All he needed was a wife he adored and kids to fill up the gigantic house that yawned empty behind him. Careful not to spill the coffee, Ben crossed his property to feed all the animals, avoiding mud wallows and manure piles as he went. Unlike Sissy, he kept only 20 hens and one rooster, which supplied him with enough eggs to share with his two sisters and his brother Jonas when he rolled in from college. He sold any eggs he didn't use. After going through his morning routine, he'd go to the horse barn, toss hay, fill water troughs, dispense vitamins and bran, and then exercise the three horses he hadn't had time for yesterday. He also needed to fix a section of fence. He probably wouldn't get to Sissy's place until around 9. He hoped she wouldn't turn her flock loose before he could do a temporary repair on her old run.
It was still icy this morning, and he didn't relish the thought of another chicken chase. Ben arrived at the cauldron an hour later than he'd hoped. The bed of his pickup was piled high with posts and rolls of sturdy wire. He had no intention of telling Sissy that he had purchased the material. He suspected she was tight on money. Well, not tight, really, if she'd told him the truth, but short on discretionary dollars. He wasn't what anyone would call wealthy, but he could afford to blow a few bucks. And when the run was completed and it was time to erect a new coop, he did have a heap of extra lumber and siding left over from when he'd built his own. His first order of business was to stretch a length of wire atop the sagging chicken mesh that she'd used to create her run. That would keep her chickens confined while he erected a new and much larger enclosure around the old one. Until the situation was under control, Ben would have Finn herd the flock back into the tiny coop before he left each night. While loading the two commercial dishwashers after the breakfast rush, Sissy heard hammering and clunking sounds coming from behind her cafe. For an instant, she wished she could go out and oversee what Ben was doing, but she didn't have time. She scrubbed egg yolk off a plate. Her movements lacked their usual fluidity. She loaded these dishwashers 3 times a day, and she developed a rhythm, which had deserted her because she couldn't think how to deal with the man in her backyard. Her first inclination upon rising had been to tell him she'd changed her mind about hiring him. But then she'd hurried out to feed and water her imprisoned chickens and realized that, however more comfortable she might feel if she sent Ben packing, her chickens would suffer for it. She just couldn't do that to them. Mr. Cowboy GQ would build them the home they deserved, and in the interim, she needed to deal with his presence. For her, the question was how. She had been so distracted during the morning rush that she'd missed half the funny story the Viards had told her. Then she'd forgotten to give Christopher Doyle his usual tiny pitcher of cold water to dilute his coffee. Jose Hayden, who operated a Mexican restaurant next door, had asked 3 times for a refill, and she'd forgotten that, too. Then she'd overcooked Crystal Malloy's poached eggs. She'd just ignore Ben, Sissy decided as she polished the stainless steel counters. By the time she reached the grill to give it a good cleaning, she was frustrated with herself. If she intended to ignore the man, why did she keep thinking about him? He was starting a job that she would pay him to do, end of story. Right? He was outside, she was in here. If she played this right, she'd see him only when he came in for meals, and even then, she could stay busy in the kitchen while he ate. On an average day, she was in the cooking area more than she liked. After prep work, she could take breaks, but normally she didn't. There were always other things to do. "Morning," a deep male voice called from the dining room. Sissy jumped with such a start that she dropped the cleaning rag on the floor. She glanced at the pass-through window and saw Ben mounting one of the bar stools as he might a horse. With a grin, he swept off his Stetson, a black one today, and set it on the stool beside him. On a handsome scale of 1 to 10, he rated at least a 15. She moved toward the archway that opened into the dining room. Thrusting strong fingers through his golden brown hair to straighten it, he said, "I know I'm late. It took me longer than I expected to gather up all the stuff I needed at my place, and I had to repair a section of fence."
"I expect 8 full hours of work from you. You didn't get here until 10. What kind of schedule is that?"
She felt like a bitch the instant the words came out, but she didn't have an erase button. His smile disappeared. He placed his bent arms on the service counter.
"I should have warned you. Mornings at my place are busy."
Those hazel eyes studied her intently for a moment.
"I'll work until 6. You'll get your 8 hours out of me."
His gaze swept slowly downward, as if he were committing every curve and indentation of her body to memory. She regretted taking off her chef coat.
"I have animals on my farm that expect breakfast. 40 cows, 6 horses, 20 chickens, and a weanling pig."
"Won't all those animals want dinner as well?" Oh, yeah, but my hired man takes care of that. I do the mornings because my horses need special handling to keep them on top of their game. Today I've got an extra horse being delivered, a dun mare that's been acting up when she's ridden.
Sissy realized she was talking to him. Conversation would not come with his meals. She'd offered him food, not companionship. What do you want for breakfast? Was he going to come in this late for breakfast every day? She'd be doing her lunch prep, and fixing him something special in the middle of all that would be a pain in the neck. Ben ordered smoked ham, 3 eggs, a double serving of hash browns, 2 pieces of buttered sourdough toast, a stack of pancakes, and a carafe of strong coffee. Then he glanced up at her.
I won't be this late again. I know I'm messing up your schedule.
Sissy had to admit, as her clean kitchen grew untidy again in preparing his food, that she appreciated his awareness of her work schedule. Soon she slid 2 plates in front of him, along with a filled coffee carafe, silverware, and a small pitcher of warm syrup. I think you're all set. If you need anything else, just holler. I'll be getting ready for lunch hour. Once back in the kitchen, Sissy congratulated herself on how well she had handled him. While he ate, she would work, allowing no time for chit-chat. From the corner of her eye, she saw movement outside the pass-through window. Ben had circled the dining counter to grab salt and pepper shakers. She didn't want to admire him for taking the initiative to find what he needed without interrupting her, but she did. Most of her customers never went behind the service counter. Sometimes Blackie would lie belly first on the surface to reach over for something, but he didn't walk around to get stuff. Today, Ben wore a red western-style shirt, sleeves rolled back over his thick forearms, collar hanging open. She allowed herself to watch the smooth, athletic way he moved, then realized what she was doing and jerked her gaze away. "You can look, but don't touch," she told herself. "And never let him catch you at it." A few minutes later, Sissy was making a huge batch of biscuit dough when Ben startled her by entering her inner sanctum with his dishes. As he set them in the industrial-sized sink, he said,
"Delicious breakfast. You keep cooking like that and you'll need a bigger dining area."
Warmth spread through her. She was proud of what she had accomplished with the cafe. Her aunt's 2 best friends, Ma Thomas and Marilyn, next door, swore up and down that Sissy had doubled the business. "If I can ever afford to remodel, I hope to create more seating somehow." To her surprise, he turned on the hot water and, using the green scrubber, washed his plates and utensils.
"Good. You're probably going to need it."
As he bent sideways to open a dishwasher, Sissy said, "I can get that." Having 6 feet plus of handsome cowboy in her kitchen was unsettling.
"Nah."
With a flash of white teeth, he grinned at her.
"Your lunch hour is coming up fast. I don't want to put a hitch in your get-along."
He left and returned a moment later with his coffee cup and carafe, both of which he stowed in the dishwasher. After straightening from the task, he said,
"I've got your old run reinforced so your chickens can be outside during the day while I'm working. Now I'm about to dig post holes."
Sissy tried to think of a response, but he left before she got out a word. The scent of his shaving cologne and masculine essence lingered. She drew it in and closed her eyes. During the lunch hour, Sissy heard the sounds of Ben working out back, the unmistakable whine of an electric saw, hammering, and occasionally the indecipherable drone of a man uttering words, which she guessed were grumbled curses. Since he was building what would be her new run, she wanted to at least see his plan and have some input, however small it might be. When the crowd began to thin out, she started her dinner prep, finished it in short order, removed her coat, and glanced out the front windows at the street to see if she needed to wear her jacket when she went out back. Some of her diners had commented on the crazy fluctuations in temperature, but nobody had specifically said whether it was actually warm today or only sunny. Sissy decided to err on the side of caution and grabbed a lightweight jacket from the storeroom, insurance in case a cool breeze was blowing. She'd just go out for a few minutes to assess the project, see how Ben was coming along, and ask him to explain to her once more what he planned to do. If a customer came in, the front door of the cafe would set off a buzzer out back. When Ben saw her step onto the rear porch, he waved and gave her a grin that would have made a lot of women melt. Sissy hesitated, assuring herself that she was unaffected. Finn, his whole body wagging, hopped up the steps. With the dog, she found it more difficult to be standoffish. He greeted her with what could only be described as boundless joy. She couldn't help but smile as she bent to pet him.
"Hello, Finnegan. Are you enjoying this beautiful weather?"
Sissy could feel the breeze, warm as it wafted over her cheek, and in the few seconds she was bent over to fondle the pup, the heat of the sun burned through the back of her jacket.
"It feels almost like summer again."
Finn bounced around her feet like a ping-pong ball as she removed her outerwear and laid it on the porch. As she descended the steps, the dog plopped down on the garment as if to guard it. Ben appeared to be erecting a post. With the first 2 feet of it already in a hole, it still stood 8 feet tall. Walking toward him, Sissy noticed that he'd somehow wrapped a taller barrier of wire around the top of her old run and released her chickens from the coop. Battling a stab of guilt, she saw that even while outdoors the chickens had scant room to move around. Little wonder they'd tried to run away. She'd provided a horrible home for them. Watching them try to find a place to peck the dirt nearly brought tears to her eyes.
"Don't,"
Ben said, his voice pitched low. She threw him a startled look.
"You did the best you knew how to do, the best that you could afford to do as well. If there's anything I've learned, it's that feeling bad about a mistake accomplishes jack shit. You have to correct the situation, and you're doing that."
Sissy felt uncomfortable with how easily he'd read her thoughts. Only for once, she couldn't think of a smart-ass comeback to hide her feelings. "They've suffered because of my stupidity."
"Yep."
He bent to pick up a tool.
"Join the rest of us. We've all screwed up and caused suffering. I damned near killed a horse once by feeding it inferior hay to save money. The stuff was full of foxtails, and the horse developed abscesses in its mouth and throat from the arrow-shaped weed heads burrowing deep into soft tissue. When I noticed pus dripping, I knew something was wrong. Called a vet who had to sedate the horse on sight and do oral surgery. It was a mess."
He shot her a look, his eyes conveying sympathy.
"That afternoon, I asked my father to go with me to buy hay. He took me to see cheap hay first so he could show me what to watch out for, and then we went for quality hay. That night I stood around a bonfire while I burned the bad stuff. I learned a lesson. My horse pulled through it. Life has gone on, and I don't sucker in on bad hay anymore."
Sissy hauled in a breath, her chest so tight that expanding her lungs hurt. As she released the intake, some of her guilt exited with it. She studied the holes he'd dug, which marked the size and rectangular shape of what would become her new run. Her resolve to be cool and indifferent to Ben had gotten lost in the wave of her emotions. "I can scarcely believe my eyes. I never expected a run this large." Holding the post erect with one hand, he directed his amber gaze toward her. Pine boughs, dancing in the breeze, cast feathery shadows over him one moment, and allowed sunlight to play over his body the next.
80 chickens will need every inch of the space. They like to scratch in the dirt for bugs and worms. I need to build them some dusting bins as well so they can bathe regularly."
Sissy drew to a stop about 3 feet away from him. As their gazes met, she could have sworn she felt invisible sparks of electricity snapping in the air between them. She struggled to collect her thoughts. "Bins. He'd said bins. What do you put in the bins?"
"I use a very fine dirt, and the birds love bathing in it. Chuck, over at Ramsey's Feed and Tack, carries it in large bags. 40-pounders, I think. It's cheaper to buy it in bulk. Or, if you can find powdery earth here, that'll work too."
Sissy looked at the hens. "They bathe in dirt?"
He laughed.
You'd think they'd wash in water like we do, but they don't. Dirt works better to clean their plumage.
In his hand, he held what looked like a string covered with a chalky blue substance. He shifted the post and frowned in concentration until he seemed satisfied with its position.
Can you hand me one of those boards?
Sissy glanced over and saw a stack of 2x4s pre-cut at an angle on one end. She grabbed one and took it to him. Anticipating that he needed another board, Sissy delivered it to him before he asked.
Thanks. I don't expect you to help me, though. You've got your hands full with the cafe.
He resumed work, putting another post in a hole. Sissy found herself admiring the view. Ben Sterling radiated so much hearty sex appeal that not even she could fail to notice. Though she'd sworn off men and never broken that vow, a guy like Ben made her wonder what she might be missing. How would those strong arms feel around her? She imagined herself melting against his hardness and letting him kiss her.
Do you feed your chickens scraps from the kitchen?
Sissy jerked back to the moment and felt heat crawl up her neck. I thought human food was bad for them.
A few things are. Go online and get a list of safe foods for them. I keep a chicken bucket by my back door for leftovers. Mostly I feed them whatever I eat. You must have heaps to throw away in a cafe. Stop wasting all the scraps. They'll love them.
Sissy forced herself not to look at him from the neck down. Not that it helped much. From the collar on up, Ben's attractiveness was still potent. She took rigid control of her thoughts and considered all the food she disposed of daily. Now she could start putting it to good use. Hugging her waist, Sissy nodded. Thanks for the tips. I'm taking mental notes. He muscled the second post erect.
What's on the lunch menu today? I'm sorry about eating at irregular times. It has to be an inconvenience for you. Tonight I'll be on time for dinner, though. If I quit at 6 or 7, I shouldn't come in too long after your customers do.
Stomach nodding, Sissy realized that she hadn't offered him a snack. He'd specifically requested 4 meals a day. Oh, God, I'm sorry. You didn't get your second square. He laughed.
I would have gone in and asked for something, but I was still full from that fabulous breakfast. That doesn't happen often. Kudos to you.
He left the post teetering to turn and look at her with his hands riding his hips. She couldn't help thinking that he resembled a cowboy in a television commercial. Rugged, strong, and topped off with a Stetson.
Do you make Reuben sandwiches?
They're one of my specialties. She couldn't help the note of pride that slipped into her voice. He touched the brim of his hat.
Lots of sauerkraut?
Oodles.
Well, if it isn't too much trouble.
It isn't, she inserted. I'll have it done in a snap. Want fries on the side?
Oh, yeah.
Sissy retraced her path to the back porch. As she ascended the steps, she smiled at Finnegan, who still lay on her jacket. Only then did she realize that his intent hadn't been to guard it. He'd chewed on it instead.
Finn!
She exclaimed in a hushed cry, not wanting Ben to hear.
Bad dog! You weren't supposed to eat it!
To her dismay, she saw that one entire arm of the garment had vanished, leaving only a ragged edge just below the shoulder seam.
Oh, dear, you silly boy! I hope you didn't swallow all that!
She saw bits of cloth that had drifted on the breeze into the yard. Blocking Ben's view with her person, Sissy unseated Finn with a sharp tug on what remained of the coat. The dog, thinking she wanted to play, grabbed the remaining jacket sleeve, braced his legs, and pulled with ferocious enthusiasm.
No! She scolded in a stage whisper. He'll see, and you'll be in trouble. Let go! I'm not playing!
What's going on here?
Sissy jumped at the sound of Ben's voice right behind her. With a hard jerk, she got the garment away from the pup, bundled it in her arms, and turned to find her handyman at the bottom of the steps.
Nothing. Nothing is going on.
Ben's gaze became riveted to the jacket. She glanced down and saw that the chewed armhole was poking out above her left wrist.
He didn't,
Ben said.
Not your jacket. Please tell me he didn't do that.
He didn't mean to, Sissy rushed to assure him. I mean, I guess he intended to, but, I'm a cook, remember? And the sleeve had, spaghetti sauce all over it. Yes, that was it, spaghetti sauce.
She had a huge pot of it simmering on the stove for dinner that night. I'm sure he started licking it off and then just got carried away.
Ben studied his dog for a long moment. Then he met Sissy's gaze, his own alight with humor.
Spaghetti sauce, huh? You aren't, by any chance, telling me a tall tale to keep him from getting in trouble, are you?
Sissy detested lying, and as a result, she'd never been good at it. Please don't be mad at him. A picture of her father flashed through her head in cinematic motion and color. He's still a pup. You said so yourself. She searched for another excuse. He's probably still teething. She stepped between Ben and the dog. The amusement slipped from Ben's eyes to be replaced by a crease between his brows.
Do you think I beat my dog?
An immediate response evaded her.
Maybe. Sometimes, if he does something really bad. Only he didn't. It's a thrift store jacket. I got it for under $5.
Ben held out a hand for the garment. Body suddenly stiff, Sissy thrust it toward him. He grasped the cloth, then he ascended the steps, grabbed Finn by the ruff, and gave him a firm shake.
No,
he said in a loud voice, pushing the garment against the pup's nose.
No chew. That's bad, bad, bad.
This was followed by another shake.
No chew.
Hanging his head, Finn slumped on the porch the moment Ben released him. Then he whined and rolled over onto his back. Ben gave Sissy a sidelong look.
That's a sign of surrender. He's baring his belly to me. In dog speak, that means a few things. First, that I'm the alpha in our pack of two. Second, he understands that he's done a bad thing. Third, he's sorry.
Ben bent to press the jacket to Finn's nose again.
No, no, no. You understand me, pal?
Straightening, Ben thrust the ruined garment back at Sissy.
That's it, he said in an even voice. It's called puppy training, and by the time he's a year old, I'll have repeated the performance at least 1,000 times. I never hit him. I don't kick him. Most dogs are sensitive animals, and rough treatment ruins them.
I see. She had offended Ben, but she couldn't think how to undo it. I'm sorry. It's just... Words failed her, and she broke off.
It's just what?
His voice carried an edge.
Don't hide anything bad that he does for me. He's still learning, and if he gets away with chewing your things, he'll continue to do it.
I'm sorry. It was all Sissy could think to say. Seeming to tower over her, Ben sighed and relaxed his shoulders. Then he rubbed beside his nose.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry too. If there's anything that gets me riled, it's animal abuse.